You are listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we have two people from University of Pittsburgh Theater. We have the director, Ricardo Vila Roger, and dramaturg and PhD candidate, Patrick Mullen. Hi, Ricardo, and hi, Patrick. Welcome.
Thank you, Emily. Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, of course. So we're talking about this year's musical at Pitt Stages. It is that time of year again. You guys are doing Spring Awakening, which is a very cool show. It's actually based on a play by the same name. It is running April 6th to the 14th at the Charity Randolph Theater. It's a very interesting musical, and it covers a lot of taboo topics in society. So Patrick, can you give us a little bit of a synopsis of the story? What is this about?
Sure. Thank you, Emily. So Spring Awakening is based on an 1891 play by a German author named Frank Wedekind. And in 1891, Wedekind published a play titled Frühlings Erwachen, which is Spring Awakening. And it also, interestingly, has a subtitle, which is A Children's Tragedy. And it focuses on the life of young people, particularly 14-year-olds, living in Germany at the time, and some of the challenges that they faced within their culture, challenges coming from the educational system, expectations that were placed upon them as young adults by the generation before them. And so it's really interesting to think of those historical origins and the way in which a lot of those challenges still really persist in 2024. And so I think that that's where, a lot of the power of the play comes from, and a lot of its relevance and potency, I think.
Yeah, no, and it's very, when you watch it and you read it, it's very, you're like, oh my gosh, this could be today and we wouldn't know the difference. So Ricardo, how did you decide to do this musical and why now?
Great question. So we originally actually had it slated for 2021. And as we all know, lots of things were canceled then. We were doing plays online that whole year. And then we just kind of put it off, and we wanted to make sure that it was safe, because there is a lot of intimacy in the show. We wanted to make sure that it was a time where, we weren't getting people sick. But it seems like there's so many topics, as Patrick was saying, that are still so relevant right now, not the least of which is, the healthcare for female identifying folks and people of who can bear children. And that's a huge topic right now, with the Roe versus Wade being overturned. And so, so much of this play, we talk about this in rehearsal all the time, how it's scary how relevant it all still is.
Yeah, and it talks a lot about mental health and adolescence too, which is also something that's very relevant today.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so when you read this play and this musical and you were like, okay, we're going to do this, what did you decide? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this safely? What was on your mind?
So one of the things that is important to us, and something that we've is a new thing in theater, but that we've taken really, we do a lot. Intimacy and intimacy choreography is something that's relatively new in theater. It's only in the last a little less than 10 years. So we wanted to make sure that, because there's so much intimacy in the show, that we had a specific choreographer for all of those moments. So I have training in intimacy. I've been training for the last 4 years. Our choreographer is also trained in intimacy, and then we have a specific fight and intimacy choreographer, so that no matter who is working with the students, that we're always checking in. So it's a consent forward rehearsal space. Mm-hmm. And then we always have everybody check in with boundaries of all the scene partners before we start any rehearsal. So before any physical touch happens, all of the folks get to talk about their boundaries and talk about if anything's changed or if anything stayed the same before any touch happens on stage.
Mm, yeah, that's really crucial. But especially for this kind of play, there's a lot of sexual intimacy scenes. There's a lot of just hard scenes to do. So,
right. And there's also there's quite a bit of violence, actually. So,
yeah.
I mean, between parents smacking kids around, teachers smacking kids around, he's sent to a reformatory school at one point, and there's a pretty violent scene in that as well. So we wanted to make sure it was all done safely.
Yeah. Yeah, and Patrick, can you talk about kind of the history of this musical? Because it was on Broadway. They had interesting, it was the way they adapted it from play to musical was interesting as well, because I think they kind of cut some things out or changed how things were perceived. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So the production has a really interesting kind of history behind it. And something that I was really struck by was in one of the earliest rehearsals, Ricardo was explaining to the cast the way in which there's a, you know, this profound difference between the language that the characters use whenever they're speaking with each other as compared to their voices whenever they're singing, and how the song is representative of the characters' inner lives. And I think that's kind of a sort of interesting echo of Frank Wedekind's original writing, where he was, you know, really classified and thought of as a kind of German expressionist writer because of the nature of his language, the poetic lyricism with which he would write. And it's really interesting to see the way that in contemporary adaptations, working off of Stephen Sater's 2006 work, that we're able to kind of think about using the music in this way, using the song in this way to be expressionistic and to really tap into these deeper, nuanced, and really complex feelings of the characters at these really critical junctures of the characters' lives.
That's it's very interesting how they decided to do that, and it's a rock musical, which also somebody like reading the play wouldn't go, yeah, that's a rock musical, right? Like, it's very, very weird how they decided that, but I think it works because it can be angsty for an adolescent to be like, ah.
Exactly. And that's something we talk about a lot in rehearsal. The rock and roll music is the way that they express their angst. They're all 14. 14-year-old feelings are not pretty. They're not wrapped neatly. You know, we've all been there. We all were racked with hormones. We know that it's a messy process and can take you can have mood swings and all that. So we really lean into that with the music in this, like, let the music take you where the music takes you, right? That's how it's written. So we've been having a lot of fun with that.
And how's the cast been tapping into their 14-year-old selves? How's that been going?
They're trying. You know, I think there's a lot of resistance just because none of us want to go back to that time. It's a, you know, I think there's a lot of resistance there, but I think once they get into it, they realize, like, A, we have a safe environment for them to do that in the rehearsal space, but also, like, it shouldn't be traumatic. It should be fun. It should be joyous, right? Like, that's what the rehearsal process is for them to discover it in a safe environment where they can take risks and have fun and explore stuff. So I think once they got over that initial hump, they honestly have been amazing. They've been magnificent. So
Oh, wonderful. And it's probably a little cathartic too.
I hope so.
And how's it been going? Are you done with rehearsal? Is it tech yet? Where are we at?
Well, we have 2 more weeks, and then so we go into tech not this Saturday, a week from Saturday. So
Wow.
we're close, but we still need these 2 weeks or a week and a half.
I will understand that. And tech is when everything comes together, all the elements. And that's, I think, when the cast can really be like, oh, this is real. Like, we're on a stage. Let's go.
Yeah, because then we add all the lighting elements and all of the, you know, because we have some amazing designers too. So they've really like, we worked together. We collaborated since September to make sure that the themes are highlighted in the set and in the lights and in the costumes and all that. So it's just going to really enhance the storytelling. I'm really excited to show it to folks.
Oh, it's going to be really exciting. Did you, out of curiosity, did you set it in like the time period of like how the play was set, or is this more modern? How did you go in that direction?
Yes, and so I'll say that it's period inspired. So yes, in the time, but because the music is so modern, I think we can kind of straddle time periods a little bit. And our costume designer, who is an undergrad, had this amazing idea of, like, it was 1890s and 1990s. So it's an 1890s period aesthetic with 1990s kind of flavor. So like leaning into that Clueless vibe. So it's like those patterns and those colors, but in the style of the 1890s. So it's super cool.
Oh, that sounds really cool. I like that idea a lot. But I also wanted to ask about you guys, as because Ricardo, you're the head of performance at Pitt, and Patrick, you're a PhD student. So, how did you guys get into theater? How did you decide that this was your life?
Thanks, Emily. It's such a a challenging question. So my research focuses primarily on contemporary works of intercultural collaborations. So something that really interests me are the ways that theater artists from different kinds of performance traditions come together to create new works of theater that honor the traditions from which they're working, but also find ways to challenge those traditions. And so in a lot of ways, I think, one might think about Spring Awakening as a kind of work of that nature, right? So you have a work that's set in a specific time and place, but it's incorporating very contemporary kind of music as part of it. And so it's always really interesting for me to think about the ways that these different kinds of aesthetic traditions come together and the ways that they grow and change over time. And then to see some of the themes that endure over time as well, right? So thinking about these kinds of gendered expectations from the 19th century and the way that we still live with, gendered expectations and the way that young people particularly, are forced to labor under some of those pressures while creating their identities and learning how to grow and flourish. It's something that's just really fascinating. And I think that theater allows us to tap into and engage with these matters in a really important and fundamental way.
Yeah, very important. And what year are you in your candidacy?
So I am approaching the end of my coursework. So I am soon to head into comps in my prospectus.
Yay. Okay, so the end is
Thank
in
you.
sight.
I see something coming. I hope it's I hope it's the
And Ricardo, how about you? How'd you get into theater?
Honestly, I've been doing it since I was little. But me being from Puerto Rico, it was one of those I was into it really early, but I very rarely saw people that look like me and my family in on those stages. And it wasn't until my mom, I was a little older, and my mom showed us the movie of West Side Story. I was like, we can do this. So that was my first, and I understand. I have a very complicated relationship with that play, that musical, because it's also really problematic. But at the same time, like, it was my in. And seeing Rita Moreno up there going, like, looking like people in my family, and me thinking, this is my life. This is what I'm gonna do. So that's how it started. So I am a more of a practitioner than I am a scholar in this work. So I am actually a union actor as well and a freelance director. And I really like, so Spring Awakening is not my usual fare. Like, I really like to specialize in modern plays written by underrepresented playwrights. And so new plays is typically what I work on with small ensembles. So when I do work on more established plays or classic plays, I like to see, like, what do our students bring to the table? How do we make it relevant for our students? Because they're not going to be engaged unless they realize that there are themes that relate to them, right? So that is what we've been work that's why I love working on this stuff when I get to work on it, is how can we find an in for them so that they can personalize the work.
Yeah, because that can be a little tricky sometimes, especially if you don't connect with a character, you don't even connect with the story. You're like, I don't see myself in this. How do I play this?
Absolutely. And I've dealt with that a lot, so I want to make sure that they don't that you know that I can facilitate that process for them.
No, I think that's probably half the battle for most. So, yeah. Patrick and Ricardo, is there anything else you would like to talk about Spring Awakening at Pitt Stages?
I do want to shout out to our directing team. So Becky Toth is our music or vocal director. We've got Samantha Passos and Harry Hawkins, who are our choreographers. We got Tanya Lin, who is our fight and director and our intimacy director and choreographer. And it takes a village to put up this giant musical. So I want to make sure, and I've got three assistant directors as well that are undergrads. So we have a huge team that is all working together to make sure that everyone feels supported in the process. So I just want to shout them all out because they're all doing a lot of work.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and I would simply like to echo and affirm Ricardo's praise and validation of the cast and crew, which has been so extraordinary for me to be able to witness and observe. I feel so fortunate to be able to serve in this capacity. And on a personal note, right, I think coming out of the years of 2020 to 2023, although COVID remains with us, of course, with circumstances changing and allowing us to be in a room, just how very special it's felt for me to be part of the rehearsals and to be in a room or in a space that's filled with song and filled with music, filled with the kind of experimentation that Ricardo was describing earlier. I think that feels very special. And I hope that that will feel special for audiences who come out and have the opportunity to view the production.
Well, Ricardo and Patrick, thank you so much for talking with me. It's Pit Stages. It is Spring Awakening. It's a very fun musical, April 6th to the 14th at the Charity Randall Theater. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much, Emily. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.